Hey, everybody. Good evening.
Good evening.
We're just amazed. We were just talking about there's like, how is there almost 100 people watching
It's
before the
showing
stream has even
105
started?
right now. We don't. Can anyone tell us why there's so many people here right now?
Is everyone interested to hear about the NES Mini? Like, there's been like tons and tons of live streams of this thing, tons and tons of videos out there.
I actually saw one comment that was like, "Oh, another NES Mini video. Thumbs down."
I honestly, I feel so bad because like I'm new to the YouTube thing, and I get lost in reading comments, which is the worst thing someone can do. And by the way, you guys have the most polite people in your comments.
In general, it's
In
shocking,
general, and
really.
every once in a while you get like that one guy who's just like, "Puh, yeah, I guess it takes him, a month and a half to make an hour-long video." And then there's like 80 people that are like, "Shut up. Like, come on. Like, you guys are swimming in all that YouTube money right now." Just like, oh, your tens of dollars.
Tonight we are just joined by Wes from Second Opinion Games, who was nice enough to secure us a NES Mini for this episode. So
We were
thank you,
on
thank you very
his,
much.
yeah, we were on your podcast. How long ago was it? Like
Is
4 months ago,
No, it
maybe?
was longer than that.
It was like right before summer, I think. I think it was like springtime-ish. But yeah, it was. I always feel like I talk to you guys because I kind of am in proxy between you and Bob from Retro RGB, because I talk to him like daily almost. And but yeah, it's pretty funny that basically I got two NES classics in, or minis. I will refer to them. I've literally had people send me emails. It's called the NES Mini or Classic Edition. It's the mini. Okay, we call it. It's tiny. It's bite size. It's a mini.
I had a little bit of fun with it in the thumbnail for the stream.
You've been doing that
I
lately.
call it the NES Petite.
Les petits NES.
It's oh man. So like it was one of those serendipitous things where one of my friends, he's like one of those people that always knows sales, like when the sales are gonna happen. His name's Ken L. He's on my show now and again. He's awesome. And he just like middle of August, he's like, "Hey, Target has reserves up for the classic
What?
edition." And I was like, "Oh, okay, let me reserve two." And then it's like 10 minutes later it was over. I'm like, "Oh, that was good. I'm sure everyone will be able to get these." And then of course, like the day it happens, it's just complete chaos. Like it crashes. Amazon, which owns the backbone servers for the internet in America, crashed because everyone wants to get an NES Mini. And I'm sitting on two of them, and I just go to Bob. First they go, "Bob, do you need one for like your stuff?" And he's like, "I'm in line at Nintendo World right now, like all day long to get one." And he's like, "But I know Corey is looking for one really bad because he couldn't get it on the Amazon." It's like, there you go, here you go. Like, get it to someone who's gonna do something good with it. And you guys, that video, let me tell you, if I could give one word for that video, it's compendium. It's like, this is it. I need to know everything in one fell swoop. It's in that one video. So, great job. I really enjoyed it.
The reaction to it made us feel better about the fact that we weren't able to look at it ahead of release like so many other YouTube channels were. People were saying, "Oh, thank you. We were, I really want to hear what you had to say about this." And this is, you looked into things that no one else was looking into. And I think especially once Corey noticed the sound delay thing, I hadn't heard anyone talking about that. And I was like, great, we're actually going to be talking about something like really crucial here that I haven't seen anyone else talking about. So it made me feel like, okay, we're still offering something new, even though we're like 2 weeks late.
Well, really, we are only like a little bit over a week late
We're only like a week late, but so many
compared to
people
like,
managed to get them pre-release.
And it's funny because a lot of the first come videos are just people like, "Bubble Bubble is hard," and it's just like
And
this.
a lot of it too is like, "Oh wow, playing the NES is just like you remember," and I'm like, Playing the NES, I remember playing the NES last week, not 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember playing it 25 years ago too, but I also remember playing it last week. So it's like, it's like a different perspective. I mean, and I get that perspective, right? I mean, most people are not crazy enough like me to have their NES constantly hooked up and ready to go all the time. But, and I get that that's what this device is for, but people still, I think, wanted to know how it compares to all the other ways you can play NES games. It's not been the first opportunity to do it in 25 years.
Exactly. You know, and I think that, you know, that's why people wanted us to look at it so bad, because they knew that we'd be able to compare it to like these other options. And, you know, like I say in the video, like it's a budget machine. Like it's supposed to, like
it's a steal for what it offers.
Yeah.
And who it's targeted to.
Yeah, and you know, the people, the target audience obviously love it, you know, so, you know, we're not going to tell them, like, oh, it's, you shouldn't enjoy this, because it's, like, not as good as something that's, like, $150 more, or whatever for the AVS, you know, it's 180.
I mean, I work in a field where, you know, I have people from all different age ranges, and it's hard for me to come to some kid who's trying to get into, like, just wants to experience old games.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, I hear so many people, they're just like, oh, the Raspberry Pi, you know, just load it up with emulators. But I have, you know, I have kids and, you know, people who are like 18 years old, all the way up to like 40 years old that I work with every single day. And like, they don't know how to delete Facebook off their phone. You know, so like the idea of setting up a Raspberry Pi, although for us and probably people listening to this, is pretty easy. Like I look at this and that's their audience right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like plug it in and then, you know, turn it on and play. Yeah. Other than the excruciating, like long, short cord that we'll get to later. But, it's definitely. Oh, I think Blade Bird on your stream, he wanted to know what compendium means. It's a all tome knowledge of everything of a subject. So that video is everything you need to know about the NES Mini.
Well, I mean, that's we thought we didn't necessarily need to go that in depth on this particular video, but we found that we like almost can't help ourselves from doing that. And that's exactly why. That's why the Game Boy video is the current runtime on it appears to be approximately 104 minutes. So.
Yeah. Oh, 104 minutes?
That's where it currently stands. It was actually
not 104 minutes.
That's Disney movie.
That's like over an hour and a half long.
What did I say? 104 minutes?
You said an hour and 4 minutes.
Okay.
I meant an hour.
It's like a movie.
I don't know what I said.
Game Boy History, the movie.
I have been totally out of it over Thanksgiving break. I haven't used a computer in like 4 days, so I don't even know what's going on, unless you count 3DS as a computer. You know, I've been off on break and away from the Game Boy episode. I'd hoped to have it done before Thanksgiving, but alas, it could not happen.
Yeah, but you think it's going to be done next weekend?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully by the. I'm not making any promises. No promises. Before Thanksgiving, I was kind of like, you know, just seeing how far can I get? How far can I get? And I was kind of working through my head. And I think if I set reasonable goals, I can get through it, you know, by the end of next week. And now, remember, this is an hour and 4 minutes. And you know, that time will obviously fluctuate slightly, but as I finish editing it. But, you know, the render will take a while. You know, doing some of the last steps of the video will take a little longer than usual just because it's so freaking long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, I think I'm past the hardest parts. I mean, we'll just have to see. It's just that there's, you know, there's roughly like, you know, 35 minutes of editing for me to still get through.
Yeah. But we're going to talk. I'm going to go ahead and start.
Editing is like raking leaves. It's one of those jobs you look at and you're like, yeah, it's going to take about an hour.
Yeah.
And then 6 hours later, yeah. You're like, yeah.
The rule with video is that, you know, everything takes longer than you think it will or should. And until, you know, you sometimes you just get like hung up on a certain spot where you're just like trying to polish it. And
So what do you want me to start with?
I'm sure the color on the screen is correct, but that Pac-Man looks like almost greenish to me. But I think it's just like the colors around him.
Remind me a little later in the show. I actually have a mystery of 3DS mystery. I have two normal sized new 3DSs, the smaller ones. Uh-huh. And I think they have drastically different screens.
Oh, that is a thing. It's something that I'm not...
And then I'm playing in 4x3 mode at first. You can really see the non-uniform scaling in this. Okay.
Oh, is that a thing? Because I have these two are the new small 3DSs. And
you got one of the new ones today, or the $99 ones too, didn't you?
Yes, the $99 one is. Another my buddy Ken L was like, oh, they're up on Amazon right now for pre-order, and I got it and it was gone like 4 seconds later, so that man is like the magic.
people call it the screen lottery for the 3DS, and I don't know a lot about it. I've got regular 3DS, I've got a 3DS XL, and I've got a new 3DS XL, and apparently, as far as I understand, you can't judge it based on when it was made, what color it is, what model it is. You know, it's a lottery, people say. And in the chat, they say it is either IPS or TN, I think.
Right.
And I have done some research. The other big one is VA.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's one of the ones that is in 3DS. I've done a little bit of research on LCD panel types. It's nothing that has totally sunk into my brain yet. That might actually be a fun episode to do sometime. You know, we'll do.
Yeah. I will send you my collection of 3DSs. I have a bunch of them. But seriously, it's something you know how you do like the data transfer? Like, now when I had them literally sitting next to each other, it was a drastic difference. Like,
how would you describe the difference?
Vivid. Like, the colors are more vivid on this one than
on the smaller
this one's
one?
Just,
on the new one?
No, this is both small new ones. So this one is the Pokemon one. I changed the things immediately because I'm crazy. So this one's the smaller one that came with Pokemon Red and Blue.
Okay.
And this one here was the black $99 edition that came out a few days ago. And this one here is clearly washed out. Like, the colors are...
Really?
Yeah, it reminds me almost of, like, the first edition SP screens. Not as bad, but, like, you know, I put in Shovel Knight on each of them because there was a game that had pretty, you know, stark colors in it. And I put them next to each other, and it was just like, that one looks better. You know, it was just, that one's more vivid. The blacks are not washed out. The contrast, that's the word I'm looking for. The contrast.
Is the Pokemon one even able to get it anymore?
No, that was another one of those, like, it was, like, available on a Friday, and then, you know, that was it.
But again, I it's my understanding that...
It's a lot of...
It's a lottery, even within the same style.
Yeah. I wouldn't think it would be like a complete difference between a TN or ISP screen. Like, I don't think Nintendo, because those screens have actually pretty drastically different kilming processes. I think like it's just probably one distributor versus another. You know, at the factory.
I have no idea. It's something that would be interesting to look into a bit more if we could get some more definitive information on. You know, something, you know, like I said, I've researched 4K TVs, I've read up a little bit on the different panel types because, you know, part of me had wanted to hold out for OLED to go down in price, but I feel like that's going to be unrealistic for a long time.
Yeah, and, OLED is... You go to the store and you just like...
Yeah.
You know, and then you look at the price and you go, oh.
Yeah, yeah, it's ridiculous. So I've been looking into, like, the different LCD panel types. And it's nothing that's totally sunk in. And honestly, that's like sometimes when we make a video, we make the video not necessarily because we're ready, but because we ourselves want to learn more about it. And the video making process can be a learning process for ourselves. So it's actually very useful in that way. So that I would love to learn more about that topic. That would be an interesting thing to look into.
You know, not to take away from our conversation, but Corey is just, you are just like killing Ninja Gaiden.
I mean, I do okay for these first couple of levels.
You are, what, I'm taking it the screen you're on doesn't have a lot of input lag.
You know, like maybe I'm just like used to it. Like I could definitely feel it, but I feel like it's
tolerable.
Yeah. I mean, it's there. Like I saw some post on a forum saying like, oh, you know, the screen that they were probably playing on probably has a lot of, like, that I did the test for the video on has a lot of lag. And I did it on a, oh, see, and I just like walked right over there, right off the edge. And I did it like on probably the best TV that I like, that I could, is like a 720p native screen. It was the LED, so it was like fairly new. It was like maybe it's a Samsung. I feel like it's like a 2013, maybe.
Ah.
So it's not even.
I'm actually doing one of those, going to a guy's house to see about a CRT high def 720p TV.
Oh, nice. Just like.
Those great white buffalo.
You said something,
TVs.
And now I'm like dying multiple times.
I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. I'm totally being that guy right now. I'm sorry. You're doing so good.
you're like a HD CRT, just to
HD. Yeah, I forgot what year it is, but it's like one of the nicer, like.
Look at that.
I looked at the serial number and like looked it up and I was like, oh, this looks good. So I might go. I have to get the truck. Gotta go get the truck to get.
I got rid of my HD CRT. It was just taking up too much space and wasn't useful enough for me anymore.
It's just one of those things where it's like, I might be moving in like a year to a bigger house, and I know it sounds bad, but I'm like gearing up to make like my new gaming room.
Mm-hmm.
And
nothing wrong with that.
I got this right here. This is my rolly cart of. This is this was Bob's old cart. He gave it to me, and I just everything here is RGB modded or just ready.
Nice.
Yeah, and this is ready to go. But yeah, this was this is the typical, like, Bob gave it to me. More like, I need room in my house and I can't walk anywhere.
that is how I have a lot of the Game Boy stuff right now. Though I'm definitely giving it back to him because he needed some space, so he just sent me like all this Game Boy stuff like a year ago. And now I'm like, well, I want space, so you're definitely getting all this stuff back, Bob.
Yeah.
But yes, the HD CRT. Now you do know that, like, though, I mean, they're digital TVs. Like that you aren't going to get they will display 240p, but they won't display in 240p. You don't get the scan line effect. You can't use light guns.
Oh no, this is clearly for a very small sect of, you know, PS3. Xbox 360 games. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. I mean,
weird, narrow time.
Yeah. I mean, when I upgraded, I mean, it was, you know, I started off the HD era on my HD CRT that I'd had for a while, but even moving from that to a fixed pixel LCD display, even though it was only a 32-inch LCD, like, it was a big upgrade in terms of clarity, because, like, the smaller text used than a lot of HD games and stuff, you know, it's not that you couldn't read it, but it was not as clear as it is on a fixed pixel display.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
I got questions towards... First off, yes, I should try the homebrew on my 3DSs. I could do a color accurate test. And someone asked me, what's my GameCube solution? Yeah, you're going to laugh at me. Right now, it's just S-Video into my PVM.
That's what, I thought. That's what I had for the longest time. Oh.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, it literally is, oh, should I do the RGB mob? And Bob keeps telling me, Wes, I got something coming down the pipe for you, buddy. You know, and I'm just, like, I'm waiting for it. So it's one of those things where, you know, for the longest time, I went without having an RGB modded N64 because Bob wanted we wanted to try out the best one. Mm. And I've literally made a Hot Rod N64 that has the overclock mod.
Oh, right.
The RGB mod and the HDMI mod. And I'm like, this is the most powerful N64 in the world. You know?
I forgot about the overclock mod. I haven't really looked into it. I've heard of it, but I never looked into it much. Like, what's the deal with that? That kind of scares me.
So I was actually going to do one for you guys and send it to one of you over the summertime as like a surprise. And blew up two of them. So far, successfully done it once. It's really a brute force mod. You're pumping a higher voltage into the CPU or the GPU.
That's kind of scary.
It's scary. And I don't like ruining these systems too. So like, right. I'm kind of nervous on doing another one. But I will say this: it makes certain games that don't have a frame rate cap, like all of the rare games, Perfect Dark, Conkers, all of them, Banjo-Kazooie, all of them do not. I should turn that off. Did you guys hear that?
Mm-mm.
I heard a little small click or something.
Okay. No. I'm getting like messages, but they're just coming through here. Good. What was I talking about? Those games are playable. Like, Conker's Bad Fur Day goes down to like 3 frames per second at times. Now it makes 10 frames. So it's like not awful.
That's the difference. I mean, like maybe the worst scene is just like when he's walking into the bar, like at the start when you turn on the game to go into the save selection screen. It's like it's like so terrible.
Yep.
Yeah. The later rare games like just pushed the system so hard and they did not prioritize frame rate at all.
No, they're just like, we want to have all of these googly-eyed characters in the room at this time. If we worked hard on them. Yeah. You know? And it's totally silly. Like, Nintendo had that locked frame rate with all their games. So, like, at any given time, in, like, Ocarina of Time, there's only, like, 3 people in a room. You know, max. You know, there's never, like, this, like, large amount of wacky things going on.
Uh-huh.
And Rare, they just didn't care. They're just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know?
So do you have to put like a? Is there a way to put like a more heavy duty heat sink on, or is it purely?
It's the act of lifting the pins off of the CPU, and
some Castlevania.
And I know, right?
This is another one that has like a like you can hear the delay and the whip sound.
Mm.
And I actually had it slotted in to use as an additional comparison, but I didn't feel like it was. That is obvious, so I cut it.
there's a question in the chat real quick asking, did the live stream video get stored somewhere to rewatch? Yes, if you go to just our front page on YouTube, just youtube.com/mylifeandgame, if you scroll down a bit, you'll find a live stream archive. We don't post them as normal content, so you won't find them, you know, that way. You know, we don't want them posted as regular videos. But so the archives are unlisted, but you can find a public playlist to look at them.
Right.
So anyway, going on. You're talking about overclocked N64.
Yes. So basically this is what you do. You find one of the capacitors from the power supply, and you just take 2 wires off of them. You have to find 2 pin sets off of the CPU or GPU, I don't remember which one it is. You lift them up, you lift the pins up. And this is where the tricky part is. I've seen people, but you have to put like a little line of electrical tape underneath it. and you solder to the two wires into the CPU. The problem is, if those pins break, you're kind of screwed. Like, there's no way you can, like, get into that. And every time I do it, it'll solder, it'll work, and the system will turn on, everything's going great, and I feel like it heats up just enough that my solders weren't good enough, and it just, ding, it just popped right off, and I was like, ah! The second time I did it, I'm going to be honest, okay, I kind of did a little Icarus flying too high into the sun. I did the triple overclock. It worked. The second one I did worked great, and I should have just sent it to you, and I was like, great. I'm like, no, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to do even more power. there's all these, like, warnings on, like, the how-to sites where it's just like, okay, there's only, like, two known instances of people to get this to work, and I'm like, I'm pretty cool. I'm a cool dude. I know how to do this. I was like, no, I'm not. I literally, the system got so overheated so quickly, and I wasn't paying attention, that like a puff of smoke shot out of it, and it just died.
And I was like, bad enough dude to overclock the N64.
Clearly not this dude.
That's interesting, kind of scary. It's like not something I would probably want to use for my main N64, just because I'd almost be too scared. But
not a daily driver. The low end, it's called the 0.5. It's a small voltage boost. Literally doesn't change the heat curve at all. That's what I have on this one here. So it's not like, you know, I have to worry about that. But beyond that, yeah, people were put like little heat sinks with fans on them, and you know, it's one of those issues where you're just like, okay, like, how is this a daily driver? No, then go crazy. But yeah, that one I felt bad with.
I mean, that's interesting. We would totally do a video on something like that, or rather, I would. Corey is not an N64 guy at all, but I am.
Yeah, it doesn't do much for me. Yeah, it's all right though.
What's your what's some of the stuff you're into, Corey?
In terms of like mods,
or just anything? Like if you were to get some stuff.
Well, our friend in the chat there, Voltar, just updated my PC Engine RGB mod. Looks a lot better.
Yes, and Voltar, I'm aware of that was the old method. Yeah. He was like, that is the older method.
he did a fantastic job, like, on my PC Engine. You should have seen like the mess that it was before. And you just like rewired it up inside. It looks gorgeous. Not that, you know, I can see the inside of it, but you know, you just get the feeling that you can tell that it works a lot better now.
Yeah.
He's also going to be doing a couple of other mods for me in the future. It turns out that he lives about 2.5 hours away from me, so I'm going to be.
Oh, that's awesome.
Going down and visiting and bringing a whole bunch of stuff for him to do. And, you know, it's going to be fun because, like, I'm going to shoot some video of a whole bunch of it.
Yeah.
And,
I felt bad because now Bob moved a little further away from me.
Yeah, he moved into the city.
Oh, yeah. He's, like, in the city, too. He lives in, like, right near Central Park, so.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
So this level here is really quick. This is Our friend the pixel purist, Firebrand X. Likes to use the red on the bricks in the background is like one of his main things. Like he used it a whole bunch to compare to create his like unsaturated palette.
And oh, really? That's awesome.
He was really arguing for sort of a more purplish pinkish background in this level. And a lot of people were like, no, it should be red. And, he's like, no, when I do the direct capture of the composite signal, it is more this pinkish purplish color. And at least is in my memory, I think that's the color it was. And, I, you know, unfortunately I've been to, like, he sends us a bunch of emails, as he's like, doing research on NES color palettes and stuff. And unfortunately, I've been so busy with the GameCube episode that I just have not been keeping up with them at all. So I'm not really sure what the latest thing is.
Well, I know he's retitling it, calling it's no longer going to be unsaturated. It's going to be called Nostalgia now.
Ooh. Yeah, and he's making like a palette suite, a few tweaked things and a few more pure things. I think the latest thing that I really had a chance to read about was he was talking about some people arguing against the greenish browns or the olive browns, as he called them. Like, for example, like in Mario 1, Mario's mustache and overalls are more kind of this olive color rather than like brown, like you would expect them to be. A lot of people were saying, no, they should be brown. And I like the olive color. One of the first things I noticed on the default palette for the AVS was that the browns on the cliffside were really this strong, dark brown. And that wasn't how I was used to seeing them. I saw them as more of this, I don't know, just a different color. And when I saw him compare that, I realized, oh, it's that olive color that I was expecting to see.
Yeah.
It's the same color as Mario's overalls and mustache, even though you perceive it as brown. But if you really look at it, you're like, oh, like Mario's mustache is actually kind of green.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Something about the... Oh, yeah. So apparently some people had been making an argument for the correct color of the background, this level that Corey just beat. Not being this red color. And I saw in an email, and I was just really too busy to really absorb it all. And once I finish the Game Boy episode, hopefully I'm going to catch up on what all this color palette stuff he's done recently is. But he said that he found, through following what some people's arguments, he found a way that the red background in that level was valid. So
he has all these crazy like ways to figure it all out.
Yeah, he's brilliant about this stuff. He's the same guy that makes the Framemeister profiles, and they're just he's always also tweaking the Framemeister profiles and being and all the different settings you can have to ensure that you're getting like as close to the intended colors through the Framemeister, not just perfect pixel scaling, but it, you know, get the color calibration right for each individual system. I mean, it's just insane work that he puts into it, and it's just we really want to do a dedicated video on his work because we mention him in almost every episode at this point, and it sort of feels like we just need to have a video. It's like, hey, here's what this whole pixel purist thing that we're always talking about. What that is.
It shouldn't even be
by
that
way,
hard.
Corey, you used this level comparing to the NES composite output in the video.
Right, right.
And,
I remember that.
I thought the colors, I was like, wow, the NES classic colors really are spot on to the front loader. That was your front loader, right? The front loader composite?
It was, yes.
Yeah, I noticed when I first got my AV Famicom, before I got it modded, I noticed that the composite output of that and my North American front loader were not quite the same. I remember I did like a comparison capture of the Mega Man 3 title screen, and I don't know if that still exists anywhere, but I was like, oh, hey, the colors are a little different. But, you know, at the time, I wasn't like deep enough into this stuff to like, I was just like, that's interesting. But now I would have been like doing deep research. I assume that the composite out on my modded one would be the same colors, but I can't be sure. But I've got a friend with a unmodded AV Famicom though. So if I did want to like compare like the natural composite output from that, I could even do it from a Famicom as well.
This is the first time for that shot. It was the first time I used my original or my cartridge since my Castlevania cartridge, because I try not to use it because I had it signed by the composer at Magfest, like the first year we went. Was it the first year?
Why would you try not to? Yeah, it was that's the first awesome. I got signed too. I don't know why you wouldn't try. You'd try to not use it though.
Well, I mean, I keep it in like a little protector, whatever. Just in case, you know, that it really matters. But it's.
You have to do shadowboxing. Shadowboxing is where it's at. I have the crown jewel of my collection is up there in a shadow box. That's my Chrono Trigger prototype cartridge.
Oh, how did you get into contact with that?
You know, there's things and people and stuff.
things and people.
You want to
know
what? Whoa,
there's some glitchiness there.
Six degrees of separation. I knew someone that worked for Atari back like in the early 2000s when Atari was still kind of making games, and that person worked as a localizer for Square Enix or Squaresoft.
Oh, so like worked at because Ted Woolsey did Chrono Trigger, right?
I don't know. You might be right. This was kind of like a low level.
But I mean,
person.
I don't know if he did it. Yeah. Jeez.
But he went to Japan and stuff, and I helped him out with some things and like tech stuff, and he gave it to me as a gift, like as in like, oh, I have this. I was like, oh, yes, I'll take that.
So, is there anything different about it? Is it like
it's all in Japanese, but there's a debug mode that you can access, and you can change the scales, like the hit percentages of all the monsters.
Oh wow.
And like all of all your characters, and like you change the hit percentages of all the attacks, and it's like I'm kind of a noob in the woods. I don't know Japanese, so yeah. I've actually had a friend who could read a little bit Japanese. We kind of went through it one day. And the sad
I love that you could see like the sorry I love that you could see like the last level in the background here.
That was awesome.
You don't really know it at the time.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Foreshadowing.
I mean, you know, that clock tower is such a iconic thing in these games that yeah. you almost don't even think about it anymore. So have you guys heard, like I my finger has kind of been off of the pulse of this thing since we released the
I
video.
Did it. Oh have my you, gosh. I got so lucky right there.
Have you heard anything about who got this thing back in stock at any point? Has anyone heard anything about the standalone controllers? Because that's what I want.
So I actually was able to, because I reserved it on that weird Target day, I have an extra standalone controller. In a box. I haven't opened it yet. I didn't think these things are going to be crazy. I just was like, I reserved two of them because one of them I was going to take apart and like futz around with it. And the second one I was going to, have. But what happened was then Friday, the Friday of no NES minis. I still have it in the box. It's upstairs. I'll grab it if you want later. But yeah, it was just like this. I don't know. Now everything's selling for crazy amounts on eBay. Which it's you know it's bad when eBay gives you a guaranteed amount. So if you put an NES Mini up on eBay, I think they'll give you like $250 guaranteed if it doesn't sell.
Jeez.
Yeah, and then so I was like, that is insane, which is really depressing.
People in the chat are saying the stream is lagging.
Not showing
like every 5 minutes. I mean, probably nothing that can be done about that. It's probably YouTube or
I'm not showing any drop frames or anything here.
Oh man, jiggle the handle.
turn it off and turn it back on again.
Yeah,
it looks like it's going okay for me. And I'm actually watching my resolution went down a little bit. Normally I have trouble watching, but yeah, I don't need like the NES Mini itself that badly, but I just really want to play Shovel Knight with the NES controller.
Yeah.
That's
it feels
all I
good.
I really want to do. I'm assuming like if the first of the year you'll be able to just get them.
Well, you know, it's funny because I did a whole tirade on my podcast about the NES Mini like the whole debacle of its launch on how just, you know, a few things. One is people want to tout out the old Nintendo adage of, because, you know, Hiroshi Yamauchi made that comment back in like 1989 or something about like, oh, let's hold back the stock to build up this. And it's like, yeah, but.
And people still believe that that's what they're doing.
And I always, this is what I tell people, obviously let's have, like, it would make sense if this happened and then, like, right before Christmas, Nintendo releases a whole bunch of them so they make money, because that's why companies exist. They need to make money at some point. And Nintendo continually, year after year, just leaves money on the table because they're not making any money on this in the secondary market. You know, Nintendo's not, like, a bunch of, like, YouTubers saying, ha-ha, now we'll sell this for $300. You know, and the thing is people are like, well, what was Nintendo's idea? And I go, well, they're, you know, I've been following this company for 30 years now, and they're just, they'll have an idea. They'll go, oh, isn't this a quaint little product? Some of our really good diehard fans will enjoy this. And then like, oh, wow, they all sold out so quickly. Isn't that great? Let's make some more. You know, and it's aloof. That's like the best word I can come up with it. They just seem to be aloof to the situation of what people want. Because the other thing, too, I mean, it's so cheap for them to make. It's basically a Raspberry Pi 2. They're using redone parts that they already have. I mean, this is their
CRT mode.
Yeah, this is their, you know, their connector port for the Wii. They basically recycled the cables. It's that old packet transmission cable that they have from the nunchuck. And I mean, this thing is as, I don't want to say cutting corners, but it's as budget minded for everybody. You know, they're making a huge overhead on this, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to make them. They need to make them available for humans to buy them. Yeah. Normally,
I wouldn't be surprised if they were, you know, I mean, staggering shipments to some small degree, because they don't want them all to just be sold first day. I mean, they want some to be available through the holiday season. But I mean, it's not like they're just making less units to make it seem rare. Like, what's the point of that?
At the end of the day, you want, I think it was Steve Jobs said this years ago when there's the huge like iPhone shortages, and people are like, oh, you're doing this on purpose. And he's like, no, I'd rather sell all our iPhones so we make more money. You know, it was like that dumb, you know. It's just like, you know, if we could sell a billion iPhones in a day, I would have a billion iPhones waiting in a store, you know. And And I just think, you know, I think someone in the thing, they says Nintendo of America is a pretty conservative company. And I think they're absolutely right, because the Famicom Mini is very buyable. I could buy a Famicom Mini and have it delivered to my house from Japan for like $115.
I kind of want to get one.
I want to get one too. Just and I was like, $115. Yeah, you know, it's the import thing and this and that. But like the NES Classic Edition, that thing is $300. The controllers are $300.
I mean, the controllers are going to be available. I keep going to the store.nintendo.com every once in a while, because that's like...
Do they even have a product page for it?
They have a product page for the NES Classic. I mean, I haven't looked in a few days, but I'm going to look now. But, you know, that's where you can sometimes find things that, like... don't exist anywhere else. Like, you can get official charging docks and rechargeable batteries for Wii remotes. That, you know, you can't get that anywhere else. I think you have to get some things, like I think one of the 3DS charging docks, maybe the XL charging dock, I forget exactly, you could only get there. So
the high sometimes capacity there's... Wii U battery.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I got a few of those.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know. I'll never be able to get them again. You know.
I got that too. It's crucial. So I mean, that's like, I feel like that's a place that like a lot of people don't really look at, and you like, it's like kind of surprising the things you can find there. Like, I mean, I bought a brand new N64 controller there like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so it's you sometimes just go there and it's like, huh, that's interesting.
It's like when you find an old
skate park. Because It's sad because now they have like a retro products category, and it's got like Nintendo DS stuff there, and I'm like, that's not old, is it?
I teach high school kids, so I teach mostly juniors and seniors, and I've literally had students come up to me, and they're like, oh, you know, Mr. D, we got you a, you know, or like I got myself an original Nintendo that uses the cartridge. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I love the games. I'm like, what's your favorite game? I love Mario 64. That's such a great game. And even then, it, like they have no concept of like older games. Like they just know like dun 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 dun. That's just like they don't connect that to the original Super Mario Brothers. Like they don't have they just oh that's a Mario theme. That's like Mario is like you know he's a guy on video games. And
that's why it's so important for us to like. Preserve like the context of the experience of having gone through that era, you know? I mean, it's not just about the history of when it was released and all that. It's, you know, what was it like at the time? What was the context of that time when these products were released?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Corey, this level was like, oh, for me when I got my PVM.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is some of my favorite ones, too. Because it can, on a HD TV, like, if you don't, if...
It looks miserable.
Yes. I mean, not with a FrameMeister, but...
Yeah.
Just plugged directly in, it looks really bad.
Yeah, this is, because I just recently got a FrameMeister not too long ago. So now I'm, like, learning the wonders of that thing. but now it's funny, because I got the AVS. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is nice. I like this.
Yeah. You know what? I laugh about Mega Man 2 because it is like a normal mode is so easy.
Yeah.
And you know, I used to think it was it was hard, but looking at it now, it's just like so easy.
I think Mega Man 2 is kind of an annoying game, but I've talked enough about that in the past. Overrated. Not one of the better Mega Mans. That's all I'll say. I'll just leave it at that. Not one of the better ones.
This is. I always think of this level because of the game player's game tape. But this is the level where it repeats it. It's like shoot the crabs for extra life.
Yeah.
And be whoever has the least energy so that they gain get more energy. And then it says it again. Yeah. It's like an error in it. It's.
Be whoever has the least energy.
Yeah.
So, like, they're like, he's like phrasing it like you are becoming the robot master when you are using their weapon.
I love your videos, the ones that you guys did.
Oh, the how to beat stuff?
Yes. I went back and after we had our show, you told me about it. I went and watched all of them. there's something about, like, having. I like when my dad tries to talk about video games. You know, and that's, like, the guy voice. You know, he has that. He's literally just reading a script. He has absolutely no idea what's going on. So there's zero context. Yeah. And that's, like, when my dad tries to explain things to someone about video games. He's like, oh, my son, he likes those games.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that we very carefully tried to get someone that would convey that in his voice.
Yeah. This is constant bewilderment.
Yeah. Looks like I'm on Voltar's naughty list for
your Mega Man 2.
Saying Mega Man 2 is not one of the better ones.
I'll be honest, I only a few years ago beat Mega Man 2 because I grew up with Mega Man 1.
Yeah, well, Mega Man 1's my favorite.
I loved Mega Man 1, but I never got Mega Man 2. I had the grandma that didn't understand it. They were, you know, that was like the gift from grandma. I'm like, I want Mega Man. I got Mega Man. I'm like, I want Mega Man 2. She's like, you already have a Mega Man. You know, so I never got.
All I'm going to say is that the Crash Bomb boss in violent stages takes off like a whole 4 points off the score. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, I understand that. That's that because that is like the hardest part of the game.
That is the stupidest part of the game because you can literally get stuck on that boss because you run out of weapon energy. And it is intentionally designed to make it so that you are extraordinarily likely to run out of weapon energy on that boss. And in fact, it is designed as such because if you die and get back into the boss room, the same room, the same doors that you blew up remain blown up. So they designed it around the almost inevitability that you were going to fail.
So tell us how you really feel.
That boss practically ruins this game.
Oh, man.
I like almost all of the NES ones better than this one. Like, don't get me wrong, I still think this is a great game. When I say that it's overrated, that does not mean I dislike it. I like it, but what does baffle me is the almost unanimous, like, oh yeah, Mega Man 2 is like the obvious best one.
Yeah.
And it's just like, to me, I don't see where that like obvious best comes from. I just don't see it. Fine game, got some flaws, but I'm just baffled by this, like, oh yeah, I mean, it's of course it's the best one. It just baffles me because there's nothing particularly wrong about any of them. They're all good.
I have that, a lot of people have fond memories of Simon's Quest, and I was one of the few people, like, when that game came out, I was like, as a kid, I'm like, this game is awful. Like, I didn't know what to do. No one made it. Nothing made sense. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know anyone. And for some reason, like, people are like, oh yeah, Simon's Quest was a great game. I'm like, no, it really wasn't. There's clearly things in there to make you buy the Nintendo Power. There's, you know.
See, I didn't think about it that way. I actually did use the Game Player's Game Tape to figure that out, though.
I never owned it.
My neighbor had it.
I was that kid that had the notebook. Like, I'd take stuff down and, you know, and I would play this game and there's a point in time, like, this game's stupid. And I just never went back to it. And then, like, years later when, like, internet happened and I'm, like, going online and people are like, oh, yeah, this guy's lying to you. Don't listen to him. I'm like, what? Why would they lie to me? And they're like, oh, you have to go to this corner and kneel down. I'm like, how would I have ever known that? And it's like, that was one of those.
Graveyard duck.
I wanted Castlevania 3 on the NES Mini, but
yeah,
figures can't be choosers.
Usually that.
I feel like Castlevania 3.
I always like that these floating things have energy things in their foreheads.
Castlevania 3, like, I want to get the Japanese version because apparently
the music.
Well, apparently it's a lot more fair. Like, they artificially beefed up the difficulty in the NES version. And I'd like to have the Japanese version because I feel like if it were a more fair game, I feel like I would it would probably be my favorite of the old style Castlevania.
Yeah, I would
it's like so good, but it's like unfair too.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean. I just,
like, by the end of the game, every enemy does like 4 hits of damage.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know, maybe I can field this question out to the people in the chat. What are some of the games that you guys would probably want to see in a Super Nintendo Entertainment System Mini?
Oh, man.
Let's let them go crazy on that one.
I mean, the crazy thing with a Super Nintendo Mini is that, and I feel like Square actually might not sign up
for that.
To do that, because, I mean, there are... Their games have so much value to them in other ways that they could release them. But
oh,
like,
wow, everyone's going crazy. It's like... Da, 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 da.
Yeah, I mean, but like stuff like Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasies, like that, that's almost too much.
Well, I could see Square putting like Super Mario RPG on there.
Yeah, now that should happen for sure. That should happen for sure. You know... Yoshi's Island has never gotten a virtual console release, if I'm not mistaken, other than like the GBA virtual console.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right.
And I don't know if it's like if there's some technical reason that makes it difficult to emulate. I don't know.
When I talked to what's his name from Yacht Club Games?
Sean Velasco?
No, Wozniak. The guy. It's not Steve. It's Nick Wozniak, I think. He's one
that
of the.
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's like one of the three people that made the game. He was telling me because a lot of people were giving Nintendo crap about the new 3DS not being able to play Super Nintendo games.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, listen, I've worked with the 3DS architecture. That doesn't surprise me. he's like, there's just weird things when you get to these low-powered, low-energy systems that he's like, I'm sure the games could probably run in a way, but Nintendo's not happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's with the same thing with like Yoshi's Island, you know, with that Super FX. Did that use the FX2 chip?
Yes, Island did, I think, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it the FX only chip? FX2 chip game?
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Someone says, hey, Wes.
Yeah.
This is fun. I like being on. This is fun. my podcast, I just get angry emails like 3 days later.
After the fact, yeah.
After the fact, it's just like, it's you could have talked more about this. I'm like, all right.
I always like the Heat Man was like a Zippo lighter.
Isn't he? I mean, I kind of just, I've always assumed that.
I never thought of that. I've always thought of him like as a space heater.
No.
But I see the Zippo now. I never thought of that.
I just always would, you know, did the kid thing and try to imagine Dr. Wily coming up with these. And then just getting bored and looking around his room.
Yeah.
Right. I need a robot. Here you go, heat robot.
See, as you can tell, you know, like, the lag isn't, like, getting me too bad here. Like, it's...
Yeah, I mean, you know, as much grief as people give lag, like, I can, you know, once I start playing a game, I get used to it. I just adapt, you know? Yeah,
apparently get up here. There we go.
There's a... What was the, Oh, I want to just give a shout-out to Corey on the first day he had the NES Mini. I played it a little bit, and he's like, there's something wrong with Mega Man 2 when you go into the opening stage. And, like, I noticed it, but I didn't know what it was. I just knew it looked different, and it kind of felt like a Columbo episode. I was part of a Columbo episode. It's just like it was with the flashing.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You enter into it, and you finally pinned it down as the flashing, but it was like that thing where you see it, and you know it doesn't look right, but you don't know why. And I was like, my hat's off to Corey for picking that up. I was like, that's pretty cool.
So, Rarefoil in the chat said that apparently there are rights, supposedly, at least that this seems to be what maybe some people believe, that there are rights issues revolving around Super FX chip.
Really?
I mean, I don't see how that could affect the rights to the game ROM and the rights to emulate the chip's functions.
Unless there's like some company in like Southern Kentucky who's like really upset right now over the use. Oh man.
But I mean that sounds crazy. But Yoshi's Island, I mean, would be, I feel like, would be a must. But it, I guess it's also possible it could be problematic just because it's never happened before. But I mean, I feel like stuff like, I mean, like the Givens are going to be some of the launch window games, like F-Zero, Mario World, Pilot Wings. I would guess.
I could see those. Of course, Link to the Past.
Yeah.
I could see. A lot of people said Castlevania for absolutely.
Yeah, Contra
3. Star Fox.
Contra 3 for sure.
Oh yeah, I loved Alien Wars.
But I mean, it's crazy. I mean, just like thinking about like that, you know, you could put 10 games on a Super NES one, and it'd be
worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, You could release it with just Link to the Past on it, and it would be worth it.
Yeah. This is our Link to the Past box. It's just a treasure chest.
Yeah. With, like, a little HDMI.
Yeah. No but controller, I mean, though. You got to buy that yourself.
But you do, you know, like, there's just so many good Super Nintendo games to put on there. But yeah. Trias right. Like, I don't think that you could get Square to go for it. Like, maybe they would put Final Fantasy 2/4 on
maybe.
There.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, because it's been ported so many other places, like,
yeah.
What's, like, another
just
place
like
for it to be?
Throw a token game in there, but some things, like, I mean, Square likes to, you know, put mobile ports up that are more expensive than your average mobile port.
Right.
And they like to make some money off of their old things. I definitely think, though, that you'd get some Capcom stuff like Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah.
Castlevania 4.
Well,
say
that's Konami, but
maybe Street Fighter 2.
That'd probably happen.
Yeah. I could see that. I can also see
Mega Man X, probably.
Yeah, definitely Mega Man X. And that's a great game, you know? It's an amazing game.
Capcom has a very close relationship with Nintendo. They will allow, I think, something like that.
And I think you would definitely see some Konami things. You'd probably see Castlevania 4. You would probably see Contra 3, I would guess. I don't know what their deal with Contra 1 is.
Yeah.
Why won't they re-release the NES version of Contra 1? I have no idea.
And that is weird. I mean, why is, like, never came out on Virtual Console?
The one thing that happened, unless I'm remembering
Turtles
wrong.
In Time. That is an awesome game. Sorry,
yeah,
someone
that ain't happening. No, I don't think.
I know, but man, and that was the best version too. Is the Super Nintendo version of that game?
I want to say that Contra 1 NES was in Contra 4. I think.
Was it?
Is it unlockable? I think so.
Hmm.
Will you check on that? Because I would be surprised. I feel like Super C was as an unlockable.
I'm pretty sure. I know it has Super C. I'm pretty sure. I don't know if I have a device here other than my 3DS, and my 3DS is in sleep mode in the middle of, like, the final battle in Phoenix Wright 6, so I don't want to...
Well, just Google it really quick.
Yeah, I'll Google it.
Man, Contra 4 is just, like, such an awesome game.
It's the best Contra game.
I have such fond memories of everything with the Super Nintendo. I was surprised that what made it onto the Wii U Virtual Console was Wild Arms. Like, Wild Arms was one of my cartridges I've always...
Wait,
liked.
No, not Wild Arms. You mean Wild Guns.
Or Wild Guns. Yeah, Wild Guns. Not Wild Arms. That's like, PlayStation.
It'd be crazy.
That's a hell of a port, yeah.
Yeah, Wild Guns. And the Reloaded comes out. It's supposed to come out this month.
Yeah.
Really? Is that definitely happening this
month? That's where it's, like, listed as, like, as December.
Ooh. Yeah, that was, like, when I had my RGB modded Super Nintendo. That was, like, game number one I played was Wild Guns. I love that game.
It's looking like the original Contra is in Contra 4, so I think that's the only time it's ever reappeared.
That's surprising. I mean, I forgot that
yeah,
was even
Challenge Mode unlockables, Contra, NES, beat four. You can unlock it by beating four challenges in Challenge Mode. So I think that's the only time that the NES version has ever come back.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the best version of the game and one of the best Contra games.
I will say this. The one nice thing about these games coming out, too, is it's like has a tempering effect on the resale market.
I don't know. I've heard a lot of people talking about how, like, now people are like, oh, I want to get a real system.
Like the Adventures of Tron Bon, you know? I remember when Wild Guns came out, it went down, like, not a significant amount, but a noticeable amount on eBay. Mm. I feel like people were just like, oh, I guess now you can actually buy it.
Yeah.
Digitally. The prices are inflated in any sense of the word.
Yeah, I mean, the new game is definitely going to, I think, soothe my soul for not having a physical copy of the original Wildcats.
Yeah.
Plus, you can have four players playing as a dachshund in it. So, I mean...
I'm sold. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all it took. Yeah, but it's supposed to be out this month. I don't think there's... like a specific release.
I'm wondering if they're going to release it the same way they did the River City Tokyo Rumble.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen, because I know it's like through...
through Amazon?
Oh, it's through Play Asia so far. But I think that they're going to do it with Amazon as well. Play Asia has it listed for this month. And it is and it is the U.S. version, because it has the SRB.
Oh, can you pre-order it there yet?
Yes.
Oh.
It's $39.99.
Does PlayAsia charge when you place a pre-order? I forget.
I don't think so.
Oh, man. Ah. Guns Reloaded US. There it is.
There it is.
There it is. not
everyone, all my friends are buying.
Man,
just want Wild Guns.
I just like screw myself over.
No, I'm gonna. Oh look, they've also got the U.S. version of River City.
Is it? What? I think the ones. Oh jeez, I just like. I don't think it comes with a keychain though.
Oh, meh, whatever.
I've been playing that. I played that a bunch this. This little break here.
Oh, you didn't finish it? It's pretty short.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't have as much time as I would have liked.
Yeah, I'm gonna... Oh, man.
I wonder if I can do this. Like, I am really close to being able to do the one-hit kill laser things, like, without using my flash. I think I can do it.
I think I can do it. Ah!
I
believe in you.
We'll see.
Amazon has the keychain version for pre-order for $30. Amazon?
Wait, Amazon has what?
I guess Wild Guns Reloaded? I'm looking right now. I'm not seeing it on Amazon.
Oh, you aren't seeing it.
I'm not seeing it. At least... Let me try the. I'm on my phone. I'll try the Amazon. On my laptop. God, if I can prime that, I'm all over it.
Yeah, I don't see it on Amazon.
I know I should farm the tanks, but I think I can do it without. I mean, I make it to the last screen. I'm close.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah, that's the other thing I will say about classic games is I'm noticing a lot of in Connecticut is the repos, like a lot of repo games that are being sold as originals.
I did it. Look at that! I did it.
Oh wow!
Didn't even need.
You made that look easy.
Well, I died like four times, but. I think that's pretty good, considering.
This part is another reason why Mega Man 2, not as good as people say. Not as good as people say.
Oh man.
Hang on a second. I am going to run away for 10 seconds and get my credit card because I'm going to pre-order Wild Guns Reloaded while we're talking.
I'm doing that right now. I think this is why God created PayPal.
Yeah.
I just got to put my password in, capital P, password, the number 1. There we go. That's not my real password. So.
Yeah, I don't want this to boot on that.
Yeah, I guess. Well, now everyone's going to buy it, and they're going to be.
Yeah, I know, right? They're going to get exactly 223 orders right now.
Yeah, I know. So we're letting everyone know that it's there. So.
And it's $39.99, right?
Yeah, it's more than I thought it would be, but still, it's like, there's no way I'm not buying that.
And I'm really enjoying this whole, like, Sony making it so easy for companies to make physical copies.
Yeah.
It's just...
I saw Limited Run, or one of the guys from Limited Run or something, I think said to someone on Twitter that apparently Nintendo's minimum numbers are fine, but they aren't accepting new Wii U publishers at this time.
I wonder why. So,
yeah. So hopefully they'll get on the Nintendo, and maybe, you know, we'll see stuff like this happen for Nintendo.
I literally bought a laptop bag with a secondary pouch that's like the perfect size for a Switch.
Oh.
I'm literally like I'm all in on the Switch. Like if I could play these right now, like From Software has like hinted at like maybe a Dark Souls for it. This is what I'm thinking. This is just me. If I could play Dark Souls anywhere, it's over for me. You'll just be finding me in like a broom closet somewhere. You'll just be, you'll be hearing like shield bashing and stuff. Like, leave me alone.
Oh, never mind. It was $29.99. I thought y'all were saying $39.
Oh, it's only $29. So it isn't $39.99.
30. Hold on, when I placed the order, it said 34 something, and that was with like $5 shipping. Let me look here.
This is another part. Like, there's certain parts in this game that I had to rent it several times before I could make it past. And
That was $29.99. Did it say something else on the product page?
No, I just thought it was $39 at some point. That Quick Man part was like, it was a huge deal, like trying to make it past that as a kid.
Yeah.
Funny. But this was another one. It's like figuring out how to use like the item one to be able to get to this thing and to get to this ladder over here.
But speaking of your Switch carrying case, I haven't unloaded it yet fully, but this old...
I have that exact one!
I know, right?
It's awesome!
It's great. I use it. This is my this is like my gaming travel bag to this day. I can't really put systems in, but here's what I do. So I've got on the back here, I've actually got a...
Oh my gosh, I have that exact Game Boy Advance case. I've been using it for my 3DS.
Me too! The XL. And I've got this SP carrying case.
That's crazy.
And inside this, I put the 3DS charger in it. This SP case. So I use the little hooks on it and hook them to the back of the GameCube carrying case. And then...
You are ready for action. So why don't I get it? On the zipper part, I put a 3DS charge cable that plugs into any USB port. Because I didn't want to, you know, go around with the big honking thing, but oh my god, that's so nice.
Yeah, so yeah, that's my gaming travel bag all the time. I mean, granted, I can't really put any other systems in it, but like, you know, if I do travel with a system, like I'll put it in another bag, but I'll like put like my games and stuff in this bag, so... Games and controllers and stuff. But yeah, but I always, at the very least, you know, I've got the 3DS hooked to the back and Game Boy Advance pouches.
Oh, man.
But I mean, I've had those since, I got all those like the Christmas, like after the GameCube and Game Boy Advance came out.
I was I think a freshman or sophomore in college when the GameCube, like, that whole stuff hit.
Yeah, and I was a senior in high school.
Yeah, man, I was... That little purple... It's funny, too, because, like, it's funny when you brought up Yoshi's Island earlier, because that's one of those games that, like, I couldn't tell anyone I liked. I'm sorry, Corey. Yeah.
No, so it's nothing... Not your fault. I knew it was coming. The thing that gets me about this one is that Mega Man 1 if you hit spikes, even if you're like in have invincibility frames, you are like gonna die. You die no matter what. And in this one, you have an opportunity to get off of it. And I missed it right there.
But you were saying about Yoshi's Island.
You know, it's, you know, I kind of went to one of those schools where you had to be the cool kid. You know, you can't say like you like little kid things. And here's this game that everything looks like it's drawn by a 4-year-old. And it has like, you know, nursery music. And so everyone's like, yeah, this game's for babies. And I was like, yeah, totally for babies. You know, I like got every single star piece in the game and every flower. And in the game, when the game came out, everyone's like, oh, purple's stupid. And I'm like, I want the purple one. The purple one was fun.
I got the purple Game Boy Color. I think the only options at release were purple and clear purple, and I liked the regular purple best. But I did get the black GameCube, but like now I regret that because like now in retrospect, like purple is like the iconic GameCube.
It's the yeah.
That's like the default color of it. That's I mean, that's why I got it, but I don't have it anymore. I wish I still had it. But nobody, there's not a lot of people that they have them.
Like I know what you mean though when you say like you were like afraid to it. Like for me there was only really one thing because like for some reason I was never like afraid to like be all into Kirby and you know Yoshi's Island and all that never bothered me. I mean because like no one at my school like knew much about, or at least no one I really talked to like knew much about games outside of like a few key things like Metal Gear Solid and GoldenEye and you know some people you know were into Final Fantasy VII or Ocarina of Time, but you know for the most part like no one like really cared, like no one knew what Kirby was, like no one like you know, it wasn't like a shameful thing, but. Like Pokemon was different though, and I never I never admitted in high school to anyone in high school except for like my one like local gaming friend at the time, who did not go to my same school. No one in my high school like I never because like they did because the difference with Pokemon was everyone knew what it was but they had a misconception of what it was.
Yes, I can
so
see that.
I didn't admit it because it wasn't worth explaining. Well, you know, this is actually there's more to it than you think. You're just thinking that this is like some kid's TV show and that's not what it is.
Yeah, my high school was pretty much a super ghetto school, like really, really good. So we had gangs and problems and stuff like that. And one of my best friends, who was also like a big nerd, we would literally have to keep it on the DL. Like it was really, it was like tonight, you're gonna come over to my house, and you're gonna run the keyboard on Phantasy Star Online while I'll control the character. And he's like, okay, yeah. He's like, don't tell anyone. You know, we're gonna go out drinking, doing drugs, right? You know, and it was like, because all of my friends were like in high school, like that. I wasn't super close with them except for this one of them that was like a big nerd, like me. Like I didn't have a real curfew because I didn't do anything because if it was like nighttime and it was midnight, I was in a basement somewhere pretending I was a wizard. You know, so my dad's like, yeah, no problems from that kid, you know. it was definitely you didn't have to worry about that sort of stuff. I'll never forget this. When I was in college, this is a funny story I always tell people. When I was in college, you know how, like, did you guys ever live in a dorm?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, the RA, he comes in, they give you, like, the speak about, like, sex and, you know, transmitted diseases and stuff like this. Well, I was a physics student, and it was physics students, chemistry, and computer science. And it was, like, a room of the most nerdiest guys ever. And the guy was just, like, reading from a script, and he's like, one out of every five of you is going to get an STD. And I raise my hand and I go, if one out of five of us gets laid, it's a miracle. You know? And it was just like, not the group of guys you have to worry about that with.
that tank sprite like blew my mind as a kid. Like that, the tank boss, cause it's so big.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, they're just playing background tricks.
Yeah, but I mean, still, like,
Yeah, but I mean, at the time, you wouldn't have understood that. It was, like, crazy.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's the castle. I like how Dr. Wily put bones on his castle.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
That's true. He's...
We're gonna see how far I can get. I've not had to use the continue. And I should get that extra life just in case. Oh, that's right.
Oh, you do this. Do you want me to? I'll talk. Want me to hook this up in the background? I'll tell the audience about this. See if I.
Oh yeah, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So talk about that.
So a lot of you guys here probably know Bob from Retro RGV, and he knighted me to try this. This here is a 720p TurboGrafx 16 booster that we got from an unknown source in China for $20 on eBay that the store quickly disappeared after we bought all two of them that were made. So this is the first time it's ever being hooked up.
And basically we're assuming it's going to blow up your TurboGrafx somehow.
Yeah.
Yes, this is one of the extra TurboGrafx I have lying around that has been christened for this. We shall see.
Don't want to see a TurboGrafx destroyed, but I mean this is for science.
This is for science. So if you look right here, you have your S video component and composite. I'm going to be doing
this is the most annoying level in the game.
So,
like, far and away.
Over here. I literally saved this for today. I was like, ooh, I just got it in not too long ago. I was like, I should try this. I just hope it doesn't end up like
I feel like putting something in the video output of your TurboGrafx is very unlikely to be dangerous.
Yeah, I'm hoping. But we shall see. I'll be off camera for a moment. This is like when people are going to be like, he's not really doing it. It's like, no.
So it's supposed to upscale, though.
Yeah, so maybe. I mean, the Chinese description was like, turbo fun for engine. And I was like, okay.
For engine.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, next so gen? Or what?
So each of these...
Oh, there's your G-SCART.
My G-SCART.
Nice.
My off-to-the-side systems on this car are my Jaguar and my TurboGrafx, but this is not my good TurboGrafx, so I'm going to... I have a super pristine one. And this is not it. Well, here it is. Gonna be... Ugh. I do know it works. I'm gonna try to put this thing in here. The 10,000 pin adapter. Oh, jeez, come on. Yeah, this is tough. God, who thought of this? It's like, let's have three rows of 50 pins each. There we go. It's always that fear, like, when you put it in, like, am I bending a pin?
Yeah, yeah.
Bending a pin? Is this it? Did I just ruin my system? Yeah. Alright, there we go. It is, now I gotta tilt the laptop. Ah! Here, wait, I'll just... Let me go get a game.
Am I crazy? Is there a weird colored NES on your shelf back there?
There is. I have lots of weird color things. At some point, I'm going to send you some of my modded stuff from Rose Colored Games with my buddy Matt Wiggins. Like, this is my Marvelous cartridge.
Oh, wow. Sure. Wow, that is unusual.
Yeah. And this here is my Earthbound Zero cartridge.
Oh, and when you
the little Earth lights up.
Whoa.
That the ladies like that one. All of them. Where is it? Yeah, Wong's Revenge is the best game for this, right? We all know about it.
Sure.
Wong's Revenge. Yeah.
Here we go. If I can do this, just keep on doing what you're doing.
There's the controller. That is a very good condition controller.
Nice.
Dang it.
So, I love how this looks. It's like the old PC PS1 port almost.
Yeah.
You'd see. I don't think it's the exact same port.
I knew. It's all right. It's all right. That was just a little screw up. It's okay. I didn't have enough time to use my energy tank. Oh, and I got to do all this again. Man, oh man.
Okay, let me turn the TV to my component.
Ooh. Moment of truth.
Moment of truth.
What if it's like...
the power goes out at my house, and then... So I'm going to do a little video tour of what I just did. Right here, so... there's the TurboGrafx 16.
Component cables.
Component cables and the sound cable.
And supposedly this is going to send a 720p
yeah
component signal to your TV. Supposedly.
Who knows? It might send something to my TV. So I'll point at the TV. So right now my TV, just so people know, it's a Sony XC4K. It's a pretty decent 4K TV.
Oh, but it doesn't kill your TV. That's the only thing you didn't account for.
Okay, light went on. Very good. And nothing.
Sure you're on the right input.
Hey, listen. I am.
Is it possible you put the thing in the system upside down? I don't think it's foolproof, is it?
You know, there's no way I would know, because, like, right now when I turn it on...
I mean, there's no power light on the system anyways.
There's a power light on the box.
On the little adapter I got from... So, I mean, I can turn those. I bought two of these. So... That would be hilarious if it goes in upside down.
I mean, who knows? Are there any, like, buttons or switches on the board?
There is nothing on it. It comes with no literature. It was literally like some random dude online selling, and he only had two of them, and I bought two of them. One of them's going to Bob. All right, this is it. I'm trying it again. But now it's upside down. Upside down gets me this.
Wow.
Ooh.
Have you tried on channel 96?
Ah, that's some real workmanship there. Something's happening.
Ha.
So, I guess... I know the system works. I tried it earlier today on my RGB setup, so that's fine.
Well, what would happen if you just plugged in the green cable?
That is a good idea. Now comes the exciting... Let me go behind my...
All right, so I should have two more crash left. There. Try, I did it without even... Although I did die once, and I cleared one of them. If that didn't happen, I would have had to get a little bit more crafty.
It's still inexcusable. The lowest Mega Man moment, basically. Other than the entirety of X6, and so I hear X7. I've not played X7.
Okay, so that's like the hardest part. Like, am I just going to beat this game? I'm going to beat it.
I mean, the final battle's easy. I am surprised how quickly you've gotten through it.
Huh. That's so weird. Oh, goody.
So, nothing.
And, you know, the sad part is now that light's not going on anymore.
Uh-oh. No, it's... Oh, it's...
Well, you lost one out of two of your boards.
Yeah. It could have been a lot worse.
I jiggled it, and now the light went back on.
Oh, good sign.
There's still hope, right? There's still... Something's happening.
Does anyone have, like, a Gandalf quote about hope? It was a fool's hope.
I was hoping this was going to be the breakthrough product of the week, right?
That's, the only thing I love the most is that as powerful as the Metal Blade is when you use it on Metal Man himself, it kills him with one hit.
Yeah.
He's like, oh.
Like asserting his domination.
All right, well, now it's on to try... The composite.
Okay. Have you confirmed that this TV takes 240p?
Yes.
Because
yes. It's I'm just. All right. We still don't know which way this plugs in.
I think you had it right. Like, I think that the bottom of the board is probably facing downwards. Try, do you remember what I use on the first form? Is it the boomerang and then bubble?
First form of Wily?
Yeah.
Bubble is the final form. First
right.
form, I don't remember off the top of my head.
All right.
I'm going to wing it.
I feel like it's either metal or quick, because those are like the two main.
All right. Oh, I got to change the signal. Oh, now that I plugged in composite, the light is much dimmer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds electrically sound.
Yes, exactly.
It's not bad.
Oh, goody.
Is it heat?
It might be heat. Heat sounds about right.
I just died, because I hate that you can't attack when... Like, you can't pause when you're like attacking. All right, is it heat?
I mean, you gotta finish the game at this point because there's a forever checkpoint after the first form.
All right. I don't think this is going to work, guys.
Is it metal? Is the second form? Yeah. There we go. All right. So this will be actually pretty cool. Like, I will have beaten Mega Man 1 and 2 on stream previously.
That's awesome.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know that the TurboGrafx still works. I'm no longer using the Chinese knockoff. I'm using the RGB board.
Okay.
So if you see one of these online for $20 or $30, don't buy it.
Now we know.
unless you think you can make it work, but
yes.
It doesn't look like it is a simple solution.
No, and the fact that it just the lights really creep me out.
The dimness of the changing light.
Yeah. And the struggling light.
Yeah.
It always worries me when you can actually make an LED struggle. That's telling me there's all sorts of shenanigans going on that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah. But I do wonder if that board could be like... What?
This is... Okay. This is the Chinese board.
Wait,
composite,
what?
Though. Yeah.
Oh, composite. Okay.
Okay. All right, let's
How did that happen? Why didn't it work before?
I beat it. I didn't even have to continue. Did not even have
That's
to use a continue.
All right, let me try this again. I think it's super sensitive to just jostling in any capacity. Let me,
That was normal mode, though. That wasn't difficult. The original.
So here. Blue.
Honestly, I think that if my recollection serves, the modes are not as different as you would think.
Yeah.
No, I think that the difficult is like the real ending. Like it's, it's like the Japanese difficulty. I think it's a little bit harder for sure. I mean, it's definitely harder.
It definitely is, but I don't think that the difference is that extreme if my memory serves, but I could be wrong. I'm not a Mega Man 2 expert.
I always love like the I feel that the last screen of this game, like the helmet like laying on the countryside, is like it's a very iconic shot from the NES
but I
era.
I think it's definitely iconic, but I also think it's like kind of silly. I almost feel like this scene was taken from another game. Like they made it for another game that never got made. They never got released. And they're like, oh, we'll just put this in the end of Mega Man 2 instead. Because it has nothing to do with the game. Like, it doesn't even fit. Like, that doesn't look like the kind of world.
Oh, look at, watch when it happens. It's a weird kind of flashing. It's like, it's messy. It's like messed up. Wait for it.
Oh, whoa, what?
Ooh.
What? What was that?
I'm glad that I can give you like a heads up to like weird stuff that you can catch when it happens 30 seconds later.
Yeah, there is something, some sort of algorithm like watching the image and then like screwing it up when it does a flash. Is that what it does? Does it do a flash? I don't remember.
I don't know. It's like that's pretty messed up. I would have shown that in the video if I had played through the whole game. I mean, I could have spent an
that's
hour
crazy.
Playing through the whole game. I mean, I then again, I wouldn't want to spoil the ending of Mega Man 2.
All right, let's see this.
Oh, high five, Pedro. He says, I love the music theme from Snake Man. Snake Man's theme, I think, is my favorite Robot Master level theme in the whole series.
So now, I went to this a retro game convention, and there are these two guys there, and they're like they like know all this like video game music, and I was like, what's like the best NES music that a lot of people don't know about? And maybe you guys know this. And they both like said in unison, Pictionary. They said seriously, get the sound, and they were right. It's some of the best 8-bit music I've ever heard. It's like they got some. It's the weirdest game, Pictionary has this amazing soundtrack to it.
Wow.
It's the dumbest game, but you start listening to it and you're like, wow, this game has a really good soundtrack to it.
I've never played it. Let me look it up. Pictionary NES.
It was out of nowhere, they both said it in unison. They're just like,
what am I not gonna beat now?
Oh, it's from LJN.
Yeah, it's you know it's quality. Yeah, I guess I'll
play it on pixel perfect mode.
Just doesn't work on this. The composite does though. I don't know about the S video, but I'm not gonna go after the S video dragon right now.
I think you know Double Dragon 2 is, it's amazing. It's an amazing game.
Really?
I think it is. Yeah. It has a unique control scheme.
What's unique about it? I don't.
Well,
the
buttons attack in the direction, you know, like left and right. Like A attacks left or right, and then B attacks left. It's you know, and depending on what you're facing, you know, like you'll always kick in the opposite direction. And punch in the forward-facing direction.
Hmm.
Not only that, like they like really upped the ante in this. You know, like the first game was about like kidnapping his girlfriend, and then this one they just like kill her, in the intro.
But then Double Dragon Neon, you're fighting in space.
Yeah. Double Dragon Neon's great.
Double Dragon Neon was awesome. I actually had both Nick Wozniak and one of the other guys from Yacht Club because they both made that game.
They were on your show?
They were at Way Forward.
When they were at Way Forward, and we basically talked for like 2 hours at length about how much we love Double Dragon Neon. And like
hugely underappreciated.
And the thing is like first off, it was the first game ever to truly utilize the power of the high five.
That's true.
I heard that they originally were thinking about making Contra 4 sort of in that style, but they decided not to and revisited it for Double Dragon, which I think was the right choice.
Yeah, I think Contra is, the thing about Double Dragon is like, you know, it doesn't have the cult following that Contra does.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, and seeing how they just opened it up with the girlfriend getting punched in the stomach. And they're like, not again. It pretty much just set the tone for the whole game. Well, that was a waste of time. We all learned something today.
Yeah.
It's all right. It was worth the build up.
Hey, that's science, though. You know.
Yep.
Yeah, I wasn't about to sacrifice my Sweater House cartridge.
No.
Like the box will be the guinea pig for this one.
That's the second bonk, right?
No, this one's the original.
Oh.
I think the second one right here.
I thought you said Bonk's Revenge.
This is the bonk. This is the two.
Ooh.
You can get the
two is generally considered the best one, I think.
It is.
You played the first one.
Mm-hmm.
For people to know, like we just did we did our first Let's Play on our Patreon. Because when Tri was here,
exclusive Let's Play.
Yeah. Where Tri plays TurboGrafx-16 and PC Engine games for an hour, and I sit there and talk about them.
And I only played like the first world or first. It wasn't much of Bonk's Adventure, but I liked it more than I thought I would.
They're enjoyable games. They're all enjoyable games. It's just the problem with the TurboGrafx is there's so many like side-scrolling like bullet hell games.
Yeah,
and yeah, I think like a lot of people kind of get lost in that whole collection.
Right. I mean, that's not like, I mean, that's a genre that I want to like a lot more than I do. And I just don't even know where to begin with that genre on the TurboGrafx. And I kind of want to look at the other types of stuff that the PC Engine / TurboGrafx has to offer. What I have right now is a PC Engine, and the only game that I have so far is Bomberman 93.
Which is a great game.
And I got the PC Engine version because it's a heck of a lot less expensive. I'll probably get it region modded, but right now I just don't have any games to even play the US versions anyway.
No, I mean, I literally have like the six games I really enjoyed from the PC Engine right now. My PC Engine collection's pretty meh. Yeah, it's not that great. Oh, this is what you were asking about earlier. This is one of my Nintendo.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Super Mario Brothers themed one.
Nice.
The controller is also themed.
That's cool.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, I like to just play around with some stuff. My buddy Matt, who does Rose Colored Gaming, his stuff is just insane. This was a little project where, Link Between Worlds?
Mm? Oh, yeah.
One of the greatest video games ever made. So this was like that edition.
Yeah.
So we made a Lowrul edition.
Oh, that's cool.
I can't yeah, quite see it in the webcam.
The light can't see it, yeah. But you can, there's the Triforce is the upside down one.
I can faintly see it there.
Yeah. It looks better in person.
I'm sure.
That's cool, though. I mean, I'm familiar with Rose Colored Gaming. They're the ones that do, like, the really cool Game Boy Advances, right?
Yes, he has. The problem is, like, people complain that his prices are so high, and then he'll make, like, 40 of them, and then they sell in 1 second. And he's like, well, people are buying them. Yeah, I actually have...
Are those the people that go to MAGFest?
No, that's 8-Bit Evolution that you're thinking of.
Oh, okay.
They're the ones that also have, like, Well, I don't know if they do anymore, but they used to do, like, the Game Boys.
Yeah, so this is his Game Boy Advance that's made to look like an old Game Boy.
Oh, that's cool.
And the nice thing is that he puts a high-end...
Oh, he puts the AGS 101 screen on it?
Yep. So it just looks really nice.
That's cool.
Yeah. But the what he'll do with the glass cases and stuff is that... If I can get them... Whoa. This is something like... I might be helping with another project. This is... He made a Famicom version.
A Super Famicom?
Yep.
That's cool. I like the box and everything.
Neato.
Oh, that's
right. And even the label at the bottom.
You know, I think I've seen that before. Like, I might have seen it at the Cleveland Arcade and Console Convention.
He lives in Cleveland.
Oh, so then he probably... Yeah.
yeah, and then this is his Super Nintendo version.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that.
Yeah. So he has, and then he makes, like, the gray, the outside gray, the Super Nintendo logo, and then, like, the two different color purples. But, oh, yes.
Did anybody get anything good? Any good deals this weekend? I don't think we talked about that really yet.
Nothing crazy. I actually kind of intentionally tried to not pay attention.
Yeah.
I grabbed Skyrim Special Edition for $25, but I think that was the only game I ordered.
I got the $99 Game Boy on Thursday or Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And the only game I bought, I did a lot of Christmas present shopping, like little knickknack, like things I know people needed or wanted. And I'm not big into the Battlefield games, but, like, the World War One aspect, like, interests me. Mm-hmm. And it was on sale for $21 on Amazon on a gold box special, like, for an hour on Friday.
So for how much? Like,
$21.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't...
That's why. I was like, even if I just play the campaign, I think it's worth it. So I was like, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
That, that Game Boy Advance with the Game Boy styled buttons sort of remind me, since this is just laying on the floor. Here's something I got just last week that is going to make a brief appearance in the Game Boy episode. I don't know if
people are I showed that clip that you of that segment to Joe Redifer, and he's like, oh my god, I've never heard of this. I just bought it.
Yeah, I mean I didn't know about it until just a couple of months ago. Which shocks me that I had no idea this existed. It's made by Hori, and it looks awesome. The buttons are, the A and B buttons are at a steeper angle than a real Game Boy and spaced further apart than a real Game Boy. So I feel like for like action games, it might not be like super great, but I can definitely see myself using it for RPGs. It'd be a great RPG controller. Mm-hmm. But what's most interesting about, which is the main thing that I show in the video, is it's got this speed button that literally underclocks the Super Game Boy, which is nuts.
Really?
It like underclocks it on the fly. Like you actually hear it like slowing. When you press the button, you actually hear it slowing down. Goes, and then like the music sounds like awesome.
Yeah.
And then you hit it again, and it goes. It's still slow, but it's faster than the first slow mode. And then you hit it again, and it's the normal speed. But it's like it makes this weird sound when you like slow it down. It's like,
yeah.
But then it sounds amazing. You know, it takes the music, the first level from Mario Land, and it makes it sound like getting ready for work or something like that.
Yeah.
Like it's like the opening for like a comedy or a romantic comedy or something. I would love to hear how what it does to the second world though.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to play for too long. I'll test that. The world level one music in Mario World is still amazing, but it's not as amazing as World Two. That's true.
I have the version of that for the GameCube. The Game Boy controller.
Which is you know, in some ways maybe the best controller ever made.
I love that controller.
Yeah,
I just like
great.
I now I wish it had a slowdown button.
Yeah, I mean,
like Game Boy Advance
game. I don't know much about overclocking and underclocking, so it kind of like surprises me that that's like safe to do while the system is on.
Yeah. I just want to know like what sort of magic they figured out there by like sending like this command through the controller.
The thing is, it's officially licensed, so
yeah.
Like Nintendo's like, yeah, underclocking the Super Game Boy, that's, we're cool with that.
And does it work the same way as the Super Game Boy 2?
Yep. Wow. I don't know if the speeds are exactly the same, but it does work. I tested it on both. For some reason, the clip that's going to be in the episode, I don't know why I recorded with the original Super Game Boy. It probably would have been more interesting on the Super Game Boy 2, but not that anyone's going to even notice. It's an interesting controller. It's not, you know, pause, unpause, slow-mo. This is like legit slow-mo. You can control it through the controller, and you cannot do that with a regular Nintendo controller.
That's, I love that.
Yeah,
just love the fact that it says the Super Game Boy at the top.
Yeah, I mean this is legit. It's official.
So people in the comments, yeah, both MSI and EVG are great. I would actually, it's funny when I build other people's stuff, I go EVGA. But for my build, I had to go MSI just because I wanted a consistent color scheme, as I'm a weirdo. it turned into, just so people know, it turned into a video card discussion.
Oh, I see.
And, this is the build that I'm currently running right now on my game stuff. It's an open-air GTX 1080, MSI. gaming edition. I like how they call the MSI game. Like, yes, I'm going to buy the non-gaming GTX 1080, please. You know. It's like, for the win! You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I want to get the EVGA participation trophy card. You know, it's like, oh, you showed up. Here you go. Good job. But yeah, they, the 1070, I got the 1080 just because it's like, I want the best one. I think the 1070 is probably your best overall, let's say bang for your buck, especially if you're not trying to do high end 4K stuff. If you're just trying to do like, especially the 2K screens and stuff like that, and you want the higher frame rates, you're totally fine with 1070. Have you guys played Owlboy?
No, I'm familiar with it though.
Like, no, I'm definitely curious. It's Steam only right now, am I correct?
It's Steam, Windows only. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a console and then hopefully limited run will.
Yeah, I feel like
I know the Indie Box released a physical copy of the PC version.
Yeah, I would. To me, it's so good. I really, really enjoyed it. I would definitely like hook the computer up to the TV and play it. Like, it was just so enjoyable, especially, like, you know, 2016 is going to be remembered as a year of kind of not the best game releases. Mm-hmm. And this was just
it was a slow year, yeah.
And, like, a lot of letdowns and a lot of shenanigans and this, that, and the other thing. And Owlboy was just one of those games that, like, I just had a smile on my face playing it the entire time. And it's like, can
it
I just have
like,
a game?
Development forever, wasn't it?
9 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you see, like, the detailed pixel art, and at the end, the credits roll, and the credits are literally 2 seconds.
Because it's, like, it's, like, one person or something, right?
It's, like, four people. And okay. Then, like, this is the orchestra we hired. Because a lot of the music goes from, like, 8-bit to 16-bit to full, like, you know, 10-piece orchestra.
Oh, that's cool. Time.
And they do a really good job of balancing the music aspects.
And it was never, like, kickstarted or anything, right?
No, it was...
No crowdfunding? Like, I mean, you would think that a game that had struggled to... Well, maybe struggle's not the word. I don't know the story behind its development. But you would think that a game that was in development for so long, at some point, they would have been like, let's get some crowdfunding for the and finish this up. But that's, like, kind of amazing that in this day and age, they just did it eventually.
I think they had some jobs, and they did this on the side.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
That's kind of why it, you know, like, I look at AM2R, and that to me is, like, that and Owlboy are my games of the year. It's funny how one of the games is an unofficial Nintendo game. And, you know, those people just did that in their free time.
Yeah.
And why Nintendo didn't just call them up and just say, listen, we're taking away your game, but, you know, come down for an interview.
Yeah.
So it's, like, open.
Because they never want to admit that they didn't do it.
I mean, Sega did that with Christian Whitehead.
Right, now he's doing Sonic Mania.
Which looks like the best Sonic game we're going to be getting in the past 30 years.
Something like that, yeah, seriously. I hope we get a physical. Like, I know there's a special edition of it.
I want a physical copy so bad.
Yeah.
Come on, it's on the PS4. You could definitely get a disc of it.
Yeah. It's like it'd be crazy for not doing a physical disc of that.
Yeah.
Because it'll sell like crazy.
Yeah. If I'm able to get a physical copy of DuckTales on the Wii U, I should be able to get Sonic Mania. Okay.
Yeah, that's crazy.
As I'm like, Yeah, they...
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was like 11:05.
I know. I'm just going until I am out of lives here.
I gotta
somehow...
work tomorrow. Hey, guys, this first off, this was a great experience. Oh. I hope I was a good guest.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just streaming. It's just, you know, casual and fun.
Yeah.
You know, like Corey always likes to say, the gameplay is secondary. We're just talking.
Yeah.
I don't know. I will say this, and people were saying it in the comments. Like, Corey, you kick ass. Like, you are... especially Mega Man, you just blew through it. I mean...
I can't believe that I...
It's quote easier, but it's these are all tough games, and you are going through it pretty. Oh, thank you, Blade
Blur. I'm gonna run out of lives here.
I don't know who Blade Blur is, but he's been complimenting me.
Blade Blur is one of our good old regulars.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
One of our best supporters.
Yes, by the way, Bladeboard, that motherboard is a great motherboard. I know it because I just put it in someone's what? Casually flipping for forgetting generations exist. It does. It's good. I own it.
I need to do a new computer build, but I mean, my computer's doing okay now, but like I've got a few other priorities right now. Like I want to get a 4K TV before I invest in a new computer, but
4K is so weird right now. The problem is I feel for like the most like comprehensive 4K TV, you have to go to the higher end Sony's, but they're so expensive. And there's like such a jump.
I've heard, you know, pretty good things about like the 2016 Vizios and stuff.
Vizio, they all make great TVs. That's the other issue. There's no like really bad TV unless you're buying like a Westinghouse, you know, some, you know, second rate brand. The Vizio makes a great product. I just know, like just the options on a lot of the Sony ones, there's just a slew of them. Yeah. And to be honest, like I'm kind of kicking myself for buying the Sony TV because I think I overspent on options I never use.
Yeah.
I'm curious about I don't know if this is like a common feature on 4K TVs, but I was reading a review of a Panasonic TV on Digital Foundry. Yeah. And they were talking about how they've got for 4K content on this Panasonic TV, or not 4K, 1080p stuff, it has a nearest neighbor style scale to 4K. And like for FrameMeister, that would be like unreal.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like a Panasonic thing or just that one TV or what, but that's definitely got me wanting to look into Panasonic's 2017 TVs.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely, yeah. And so funny is Panasonic is a name I haven't gotten into ever since the kind of the fading away of the plasmas. Like it was Pioneer and Panasonic that really pushed the plasmas. And, you know, it's just the once South Korea was able to get those LCD wafer kilns going, and like by 2008, it was all she wrote for plasma. Like they could pump out that's why 4K TVs got so cheap, because they just pump out these wafers so cheaply. That's how Vizio got started. Vizio was just one of these factories, and they realized that they could spend like a few hundred dollars and add their own circuitry to the back of their wafers, and then oh look, now we're a TV maker. Vizio came out of nowhere, and everyone was laughing at them when they first came out because you kind of saw this weird bargain brand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is this Vizio? Yeah, I mean, the price.
I've kind of felt that same way until recently, just because, you know, like they're always so much cheaper.
And then you see a few in action, you're like, oh hey, these like look pretty good actually.
Yeah. And they always get great, like Digital Foundry, CNET, all of the places they get great reviews. Or they're always like the second TV.
Yeah.
So like Sony or the Samsung are number one, but they're $3,400. And then the $800 Vizio is second place. And you're like, second's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Speaking of Digital Foundry, they just released a really great episode on Shenmue 2.
Oh,
today. Really?
Yeah. They do a really good a retro series.
DF retro.
Yeah. Very, very much worth watching. But the Shenmue is like 34 minutes long. It's pretty good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They do like really in-depth analysis of like how these old games ran. And, they did a really good one on Castlevania, Symphony of the Night, Saturn version versus like...
I saw that episode. That was a great episode.
Yeah. And they did a really good one on Metroid Prime. Which is excellent too. So if anybody in the chat has never seen the DF Retro series, you should absolutely watch it because it makes the kind of stuff that we're doing seem like I wish that we could like get as in depth.
They about understand games. Like they understand like how the hardware is utilized, like the processing and the graphics hardware and the particular graphics tricks they're pulling off.
Yeah.
You know, we're just talking about the you know, how pretty it looks once it's on the screen. You know, right. They understand how it's programmed and all that stuff is pumped through the graphics pipeline and rendered.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy though, and it's neat because I've been really the Nintendo Switch is really kind of lit a fire under me. In a previous life, I used to program and like one of my jobs was going to be like building fiber optic cables and processors and that sort of stuff. What's really interesting to me with the Switch is like a lot of these developer like APIs are coming out, and it reminds me of all of those tricks that they pulled back in the day, but NVIDIA's doing it as a go-between. Mm-hmm. So like NVIDIA's acting like this monkey in the middle, like, oh, you give us all this stuff the way you want it, we're going to do some shenanigans to it, and now we can put it through this low-end processor that's like can run out of battery. And it's just neat because you reminded me of that with that Digital Foundry video, just like the crazy amount of stuff that they did with, what was it, the Symphony of the Night?
Right.
And it reminds me of a lot of the NVIDIA API stuff that's coming out lately. Like the NVIDIA stuff is, they're really going for they're making the best hardware right now. You got to pay for it, but they understand the connection to the software. And I think someone said it in the thing scrolls by, have you guys heard of Vulkan versus DirectX?
Mm-mm.
So you know how like PC games, everything, they run on a thing called DirectX.
Yeah. I know about that. I've never heard of Vulkan.
Yeah. So DirectX is just basically the go-between between the game engine and the hardware. Vulkan is what a lot of people are going to right now. And that new Doom game that came out back in like May, I think, mm-hmm. or June, which it runs on these lower end video cards at 4K at like 60 frames when it's running Vulkan.
Super efficient.
It's super duper efficient. And like NVIDIA is getting all over that. And I'm just excited because I feel like now we're getting to the point where the systems are pretty darn powerful.
Yeah.
You know, I look at the PS4 Pro, I look at the PS4. I mean, people, you know, I have a kick-ass gaming rig, but like I think now it's the time of like, okay, all the cars are fast, now let's make them feel efficient.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of like where we are right now. But yeah, I don't know, just food for thought. I'm just it makes me excited for the future. I really get excited for like what's coming down the pipe. It's actually nice to be excited about Nintendo for once.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always excited about Nintendo, but
yeah, me too.
I mean, it's nice to see, in general, excitement surrounding them from a larger group, I guess.
Yes, I feel like we don't have to like prophetize. You know, I usually have to be like John the Baptist of Nintendo to my friends. You know what I mean? I got to be like, oh guys, you know, Nintendo was good, yay, you know. But what about this? Don't look at that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
you know, you now know, I don't have to defend it as much. I could be like, isn't this cool? And they're like, that is a good idea.
But, I mean, you know, the Wii U like has been my favorite system of the generation just because it, you know, when I'm playing a game on the Wii U, it just, they feel like those games have made an identity for themselves. Whereas, you know, it's like, hey, yay, I'm playing a game on my PS4 that, you know, but how many of those can I really only play on my PS4? The Wii U is like, hey, this is a game that I can only play on my Wii U. And it feels like a unique experience because of that. But I love the Wii U.
I always talk about this on my show. Like one of the big AAA games that came out years later, and I still tell people like it was one of the games that really sold me on the Wii U and no one played it was the version of Deus Ex.
Oh yeah.
On the Wii U. Mm-hmm. It was great. I mean, I love like hacking on the screen and like looking up, making sure like, you know, no one's like spotting you at the computer.
That's kind of like how Zombie U works.
Yeah.
Also a great game.
Yeah, I felt like it was just this really cool addition to it, and there's other issues with the Wii U why it couldn't catch on, this, that, and the other thing. But yeah, I enjoy it. I love it. I got a bunch of games for it. I enjoyed every game that came out on it. But yeah, I
think we're Bayonetta 2.
Yeah.
Bayonetta 2 is like an amazing game.
Yeah, I loved basically, I'm looking at my collection right now. The only game I know we're getting a Zelda game for it, but we're all probably going to play it on the Switch, probably.
Yeah.
But I did like the remake of Wind Waker, Twilight Princess. I love the Mario games. I love Mario Kart, Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're all great.
I mean, I'll probably end up getting both. Like, I played Twilight Princess on the GameCube. I didn't get a Wii at launch.
Yeah.
So I did play the GameCube version, and like that one's like, it's expensive now.
Yeah.
That version, it's kind of weird. Like, I felt like that was more of the originally intended experience, was that version.
Yeah. The originally intended. Yeah. Well, you got, like, the Mirror World version.
Right.
Afterwards.
And it's cool that they included that all in the HD version, which I've not played.
Yeah.
I do have it, but I just haven't played it.
Yeah. I will say this. I am one of the people who I could not get behind Star Fox Zero.
Oh, see, I liked it.
I liked it too.
I'd like to replay it, but I just, it's been...
I intended to do like a second playthrough like almost right away, but I just never got around to it. But I enjoyed it.
Like the ideas of like second playthroughs, like for us, I feel like it's not a luxury we can enjoy.
Like
I like the idea of it. But like lately it just hasn't happened. I liked it though. Like the thing is like I'm super like open to the idea of motion controls, and I really like the idea of tilt based aiming.
That didn't bother me. What bothered me was I just as I was getting good with the control scheme, I'd go to a level and there's a new one. Yeah. Then I have the hovercopter, and I'm like, okay. And then I got good at the hovercopter. Like, now you got the hover tank. And I'm like,
I didn't think that the copter was very fun. Like it just wasn't a very fun vehicle, very slow paced. I mean, the thing really what the game needed was it needed less variety, really. I mean, less variety in the vehicles you control. It just needed to be more focused. Let's just make awesome R-wing levels and maybe make some good Landmaster levels, because I do like that, the Landmaster.
If the whole game actually was just like the R-wing stuff, I probably would have enjoyed it a lot more.
Yeah.
Just because I felt like by the third level, I was getting good with it. I was like, yeah, all right, I'm getting this. Here's the hovercopter. And I'm like, use your Rob the Robot to do stuff. And I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, but, I mean, it needed to be more focused in its design, but like I thought it was a good game, and the motion controls were just fine, really.
Can I say this? I played 10 times more of the game that came with it.
I finished it. It was that game was like stressful.
I did. I liked it. I just thought it was cool.
Yeah, I mean, I played it. I finished it. It was like at first I thought, yo, this will be like a good game to just play like one or two maps before going to bed. And then it's like, oh my gosh, like I'm like all riled up like after finishing a level. It's like,
Can I just say like really quick that we are just like a little bit over 100 subscribers away from 40,000.
Oh wow,
that's insane.
How many subscribers did you get like within the past few days or something?
We got like maybe like 500 in the last few days, but in the last year, I mean, last November we had just hit 10,000.
Wow, that's awesome.
So I mean, this year has been crazy.
Yeah.
And it's weird to think about that at this time last year we were releasing every week. No idea how we did it.
No. No.
Listen, you're not saying this stuff was good. You're just doing it weekly.
I think the stuff we put out, like sometimes it was very good because it forced us to be like to stay on it, And we like I think a lot of like creativity came out of that.
Yeah.
of like that rushed kind of, you know, that rushed schedule.
Yeah.
I will say though, I mean, I do like the long form stuff. I'm super excited about your Game Boy episode. I was telling Corey.
That is long form.
Well, I treat your content now like a television episode. Like when your new thing comes out, I'm like, oh, great. And I fire up my Xbox One and I use the Xbox, the YouTube app. And I sit down and I literally will have a snack. And I'll just watch your stuff. And I'm just like, oh, yes, tell me more. You know?
Well, you know, yeah. I really, that was part of the reason I really wanted the Game Boy episode to be able to make it out in time for Thanksgiving. Because I thought, you know, well, hey, people are going to be at home. They're going to have plenty of time on Black Friday, you know, and they can watch this hour-long episode. But I'm going to bring it up on my computer and I'll send it to Corey and you can see I'll let y'all see where the timeline stands at, you know, my ability to finish this before you know, to get out next weekend largely depends on how much work comes up.
Yeah.
But hopefully that is not too much, but,
it's going to be an hour and 4 minutes.
Wow.
There's some people, like I saw somebody say, like, you should split into two parts. We're kind of against like splitting things up if we can help it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we've ever split anything in half, and like, maybe it'll be something that we regret splitting in half, but I'd rather have it all in one place. Yeah. One like mega thing that people can watch.
I'm going to...
Hopefully it works with more than one person.
I don't know how well this is going to come across on the stream, but...
Let me see if I can do this. Hang on. There's a little bit of that. So,
now,
for those that... Like, one of the things I think is so cool about this episode is that Tri is, like, comparing, like, actual systems with things, too, and he's shooting the systems... Like off screen, yeah, it's so pretty. Like, it's pretty neat.
Like there are some comparisons, like you know, just regular comparisons. Let's see, like, you know, here's a one of our traditional style comparisons. Now here's like, you know, this is like shot works. Off of an actual gameplay pocket. Screen, and that's comparing aspect ratios. That's corrected aspect
ratio. That's awesome.
This is how the Super Nintendo aspect ratio is normally a little wider. But let me back up a little bit farther.
It's crazy what we put up with when we were younger. that's awesome. Here wow, these are really good.
Here is...
What kind of camera do you use?
It's a Panasonic GH4.
That's a great camera.
Yeah, it is. I cannot recommend it enough for video work. Mm. But this, you can see here that the colors on the micro, I was surprised. They are a lot more muted than on the... Yeah. The AGS 101 GBA SP, Game Boy Micro,
and I'm sick, and I'm sick in this episode. It's an hour long, and I'm sick. It took me nearly 3 hours to record my on camera parts.
No, that's too bad.
WarioWare, I love that game. Oh, now that's...
There's a lot of WarioWare in here. Here's comparing the...
Sorry, you can't really see it too much. It's just because of the way that I am capturing the window here.
Yeah.
But you can still kind of... You can see, like, three quarters of the window.
That is an elite timeline. That's a I know what I'm doing with Premiere Pro timeline.
But we think like this thing is going to, I think it goes even beyond like the normal scope of a RGB episode in the way that it's using hardware and stuff. You know, I think it's going to be very much a catch-all, and I think that people that are not even just like interested in like video quality, but are just like the history of the machine and like the different different variations of hardware for it are going to just like think it's really interesting too.
But here, you know, you can sort of see how I've got the timeline laid out. You know, track one is our audio. Track two is music, and track three is sound effects. So you can see, you know, up to this point, up to the point where the cursor is, almost everything up to that point is finished, aside from like putting backgrounds behind us.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's got sound effects. It's got video covering, literally basically everything up to this point. And then from that point, there are scattered bits edited. So it is a significant amount of work left to do. As you can see here, 1 hour, 3 minutes, 57 seconds, and 39 frames edited.
But I mean, you said, you know, you're just like, you're going dark, as you like to call it.
Yeah.
I mean, especially because, you know, Final Fantasy 15 comes out on Tuesday, and I'm super mad that this episode is in my way of playing it. And I don't want to go on the internet and basically hear almost everyone talk about how horrible the game is, or so they think.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go dark. I don't want to hear anyone talk about it. I don't want to hear anyone talk about it. So I'm basically not going to be on the internet until this episode is done. So, yeah, I'm like probably like two out. Like I spent my Thanksgiving break basically binging on Phoenix Wright 6, and I'm like 2 hours probably from the end of the game. I'm like in the midst of the final battle, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I can't be that close to the end and not finish
just
it.
Finish so, it. Yeah.
So I'm like, tomorrow morning, I'm going to like spend like 2 hours finishing that. And then it's back to just bang, 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 yeah, focusing on this episode. Like the only day that I definitely have like work to do is going to be Tuesday. And I'm going to try to basically just do nothing but focus on this, aside from that, if I can. So, and if that happens, like, I feel like the first part of this video where we're like looking at like the real Game Boy hardware and stuff is like the hardest part.
Yeah. Required you to shoot the most.
Sure. Yeah, and you know, and having to shoot like off screen of these things and stuff, and there's like scattered things throughout the rest of the video that are already shot. So
yeah,
I think at this point,
I
Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, like, you guys met him on my podcast. I love that.
you want to know what the voiceover says during that part of Wario picking his nose? It says. But sadly, it is not perfect.
Oh my God.
I think the thing I'm scared the most about is that every single RGB episode after this one is going to be a disappointment to people.
It's a crazy one. It's a crazy one.
Yeah.
This one, I hope, I'm going to try to repost it as many places as possible, because I feel like this is one of those ones where it's like, now I know everything about this. and if I don't, well, then you weren't paying attention. No, this is, I just like the amount of work you guys put into this is awesome. I know one of my really good friends I do my podcast with, Evan Amos, he does all of like the stock photos mm-hmm. that you see on the internet. Like every video game console ever created. I mean, the amount of work he has to go into to take these shots.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, and it's just insane. Like when I was over there, I have the 20th anniversary PlayStation. So I brought it down to him because he wanted to take archive photos of it.
Mm-hmm.
He had to take like 40 different shots of just the controller. So like he could do a composite shot of them. So there's no glares.
Right.
You know, and it was just like, I mean, I'm like, oh my God, there's just so much setup that you guys do. And then I see like the shots that you do. And I remember you guys did the episode where you toured all your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it's like, it's, I know it's a labor of love. But
oh, Corey,
like,
I'm sorry. I changed the thing on you. I didn't realize.
It's all right.
No, it shows. Like, it's one of those things where I think the fact that you guys don't have 400,000 subscribers right now is criminal. Like, I think. I'm serious.
We'll see what happens in the next year. I don't know. Can't even imagine.
I mean, we had 400. What was it? 400% growth this year. I mean, if we kept that up, that would be ridiculous. But we'll see. I mean, I think people are going to be excited about this Game Boy episode. I'm excited. Like, as much as I put into this episode, I'm still excited about, which is like, and I mean, to get through it, I have to continue to keep a positive attitude about it, right?
Yeah.
But I just think it's a fun topic. I've had fun going through it. And so here's just to hoping that I can do what I need to do this week, and that this will be something you all can view. You know, fingers hopefully crossed next weekend. If it's not next weekend, then hey, guess what? It's going to be the next week. But
it'll be worth the wait. Someone said it's kind of like a Christmas special. And it's funny because we'd actually been talking about like once a year doing one of these like megasodes where it's just like over an hour long of stuff. Like we had one that we wanted to do this year, just never happened. And somehow this has just kind of ended up in its place.
Naturally become it without me even ever intending.
Yeah.
Like, you remember when I was like, oh gosh, I'm worried that this script is going to be like over 40 minutes maybe. Now it's over an hour. Yeah. So, but you know, when I was working on the, like going through the wide boy section, like I found like a lot of parts that were like, this doesn't need to be that wordy. And I re-recorded like a lot of sections, just made them a little more concise. So, and who knows, I might find a few more of those.
The problem is I can't do that because.
Exactly. Your script is pretty locked because you would sound inconsistent because you don't have your cold anymore.
Yeah.
It's not that noticeable, really, though. Like, there's a few parts where you say a few words, like, kind of weakly.
Yeah.
But, like, in, like, the GameCube section, like, I've got this, like, super high-energy music. Like, at the very beginning, it's like, oh, like, it's the music in Drill Dozer when you get the third gear, which is, like, super exciting, high energy, super happy music, and you're like, all right, here we go, the GameCube Game Boy player.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, it took me nearly 3 hours to record that.
I'm exaggerating. It does not sound that bad. Like I don't think your average viewer will even notice that you were getting over like a cold.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm cutting down the cold.
You'll be surprised at what people don't notice.
Yeah, that's
true. Because you know, you're your own tough critic, and you're just like, I kind of slurred that word a little bit, and people are like, I'm more concerned about your annoying voice. They're like, oh great, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like I was kind of like that with the NES. There's one part where I say it during the ending where it's like I put in a word that was not in the script, and I'm like, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I kind of fumble for a second because sometimes I have a really hard time, like if I'm like, I have a hard time going off script, you know, like if I go off script, like I automatically trip myself up, you know, from reading the teleprompter.
You did a good one in the NES mini episode though. At the very end, you're like, can you hear it? Or am I just crazy?
Yeah, that was totally like I ad-libbed that part, but that was,
and
this was the end
that.
Of a paragraph.
And like, and a lot of people have commented on that part. They're like, no, Corey, you are not crazy.
Yeah.
Or, I think there was one comment that said, yes, Corey, you are crazy for thinking people won't notice that.
Yeah. Yep.
I love that. I love that line. It had a very honest feel to it. You're like, am I crazy?
Because, you know, most people won't care. I mean, there's a comment that says, like, no, like, can't you just play your games and enjoy them? Well, yeah, I mean, all the time I do.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out the stuff, you know.
There's always going to be some comments of, like, you know, I remember when people used to just play video games and we didn't worry about it. And it's like, you know, it's not that we don't just enjoy video games or just play them. This is just looking at a different aspect of it that we like to look at.
Yeah,
you know,
you know, you go to a car show and everyone's just, you know, there's always that guy that's like, oh my God, all these people waste time on their cars. And it's like, why did you come to the car show?
Yeah, I mean, you know? it's like, you know, yes, gameplay is the most important thing, but it's crazy to deny that all of these other aspects of the game and the hardware don't do something to contribute to the overall enjoyment of the experience.
Yeah.
Like, don't act all high and mighty just for being happy playing in composite video. If you are, great, more power to you. Guess what? I'm happy playing in composite too. But I also feel compelled to do something more, and I just think it's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when I got my first real PVM and I started doing the RGB thing, I played games I haven't played in years just because they looked so drastically different. And I was just excited by that. Like, it's like, it's, you know, sometimes it's just neat to be reinvigorated by something again. And that was, for me, like, one of the cornerstones of that. And to be honest, like, your videos really lit a fire under me, like, when I started watching them over a year ago. And I was like, this is really cool stuff. I have to get going, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's getting late. I have to get up at 5:30 in the morning.
We need to wrap it up anyways. We're like going way over, which is good. It's a good sign that we had a good time tonight.
Yeah. I wish I could be on for another 2 hours, but it's just like I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, I'm gonna get 2 hours of sleep tonight.
All right. Well. Thanks so much for joining us and for making this episode possible.
Oh, no worries about it. I will be there to help you guys in any way possible. And I wouldn't mind doing this again sometime if you ever need me another Sunday. And I would love to have you guys on the podcast again soon. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. I'm going to sign off now.
Yeah, well, we should go then too. All right, everybody.
All right, good night, everyone.
Have a good night. Take care.
Good night.